Good to see everyone today. It's good to have a number with us that we have. Singing has been great so far this morning. Our study was good as well, and I like the way Abe puts his lessons together because they're quite simple for the questions, but then the discussions that we get into are a lot more deep than they probably would be if we asked some really specific questions. And I always find something to take from it that I'm marking passages for, so hopefully we're all able to do that. And hopefully those that are who attended the younger classes this morning also gained something from that. This morning we're going to be talking about something that I think that, at least in my life, we've got to be real careful about how much we respect God for. And we certainly know as Christians, we can look at the Bible, we can look at God, we can look at creation, and we're reminded of these things frequently. But sometimes we don't respect God quite as much as we should. And the goal of my part of this in the lesson is not to get done and everybody suddenly be respecting God as well as he deserves, but to be reminded of just who we're dealing with and why it's important for us, because as we talked about in the adult study today, we are sons and daughters of God. Even those that aren't doing right are his offspring. He created mankind in the beginning, and we've all gone from there. So I want to think about some things today, and I've got a series of photos that I've kind of used in another lesson, done a little bit differently for the purposes of today's lesson. But I hope you'll follow along, and if there's something that you can mark down as passages, and especially just the idea of who God is and who we are before him, I think it would help us out. Starting off, I had a couple definitions that I wanted to go through, and we all want respect. We all like respect. We've had plenty of songs done for respect and how people enjoy it. The first definition of God is respect is defined as esteem for or a sense of worth or excellence of a person, a personal quality or ability, or something considered as a manifestation of a personal quality or ability. As in, I have great respect for her judgment, or I have great respect for him as a person, or just you can have all those things. We know what respect is because we've got people in our lives that we respect. Another definition is a deference to a right, privilege, position, or someone or something considered to have certain rights or privileges, proper acceptance or courtesy, acknowledgement. And a couple of other ideas there is respect for a suspect's right to counsel. It's what the police are supposed to show for somebody that may not be guilty of a crime, but they've taken him into custody. Or to show respect for the flag, or respect for the elderly. A lot of you, especially some of us that are my age or older, know that when we were younger in school, boy, the American flag was very, very something you dealt with very carefully. And I was on safety patrol. I don't know if any of the others of you might have been on safety patrol, but we had that role sometimes. And we take that flag down, and you were just very careful with it. And I remember there was times when some of those kids would drop that flag on the ground or let it touch, and they burned it. They used to do that. I don't know how often you see that today. I think people knock the flag around, and they just say, oh, let's put it back together. Those are things that are too costly to replace. There was a great deal of respect paid to the flag because of what it represented. It represented us as a nation, and especially those of the armed forces who had laid down their lives and died for this country. It represented all they had done, so people treated that very carefully. Other things or people that we respect in our lives, we certainly could put down our list here, moms, dads, grandparents, teachers, bosses, police, even the president. Well, why would we have these people down for respect? Well, because, first of all, like Abe likes to remind us about his dad, and I told him, I said, maybe I need to do a little bit more of what your dad did with my son sometimes to try to get him to respect me like you do. Abe's dad's gone now, and certainly they had a good relationship. But even today, Abe behaves partially because he knew his dad would be unhappy about that. And, of course, being a Christian, I think all of us would be trying to do that anyway. But if you have somebody in your life you respect like that, one of the reasons that you have respect for him is because there's a degree of fear. And we forget about that. God tells us he's a God of love, that he has compassion for us, he loves us, he wants us to be his children. But one of the reasons we respect him so much is because he is God. We are all responsible for him. And we've all heard parents say from time to time, I brought you into this world, I could take you out of this world. And we all joke about that, but really it's true. I mean, we are a responsibility of theirs, and that's why we exist today. Same for these other things, too. Our grandparents seem like they're easy to respect because we get cookies, we get to go over there, do what we want to, they overlook it, and they send us back home. So that's not too bad. We've got a lot of teachers in this congregation. Again, I've got a wife who is a teacher. My mom was in the school system. Brenda and others of the congregation, I know, are all still either working in school or teaching in school. I've got sister-in-laws that are in it too. So you'd think with my family and all the teachers on our side, I would be a perfect student. But my daughter comes up to me too often asking about math help, and I kind of glaze over, and she goes, fine, I'll figure it out. But again, the whole idea of respect there. People that know how to do things. People that we're a little bit afraid of. People that have something over on us that we have to respect. Our bosses. One of the reasons that we have our respect for our bosses is because we can lose our job if we mess up too much. We owe them, if we want to get a salary from them, we are providing them service. But if we want that salary, we need to make sure we're doing our job the best we can. And then the police and president. I don't know too many people that see a police officer and say, watch this, and they stomp the car and whoa, drive through the street. They don't. It's slow down. And especially if you drive on 71, people can do 85, 90 miles an hour. And then when they see that police officer, they suddenly started driving the speed limit, sometimes even under the speed limit. And Kyle, I think I talked to him a little bit when he went to Columbus the other day. It's just insane. I love the Buckeyes, but when it's a Buckeyes game day, people will do as close to 100 as they possibly can on that freeway, and you just have to get out of their way. They don't respect me. They respect themselves trying to get to that game. But if that police officer shows up there in front of them, boy, they're doing what they need to. That whole idea is just about respect. There are many people in our lives that we should respect, and it may be for who they are, what they do, and again, that idea of fear, what they can do. Or that we depend on or need them, especially with our parents. One of the reasons we respect our parents is because they keep giving us stuff. They provide things for us. Again, same thing about our employers. So of all those in our lives, who should we have the most respect for? Let's answer that with a question. Who has done the most for us? If you had to sit down, maybe this was your assignment. I give you a piece of paper and I say, I want you all to write down all the people that you can think of in your life and tell me who has done the most for you. And I want you to add them all up. Hopefully the most important one on there will not be mom, dad, grandma, or grandpa, our wives, husbands, or our boss. Hopefully our main answer when we look at all those things, especially as a Christian's point of view, the person that's done the most for us will always be God. And hopefully that's something on our minds. I promised you some pictures, and I mentioned this on Facebook, trying to encourage those to come and visit with us. But so take a moment here just to remember who we're dealing with. I've done this before. I took new pictures just so you guys didn't see some dated material. It is pretty funny. I will say that I was updating the church for sale sign, or the for sale page on our web page, and just trying to make sure people understand that we're trying to get a new building and everything. And the satellite picture shows my car sitting out there. It's the only car on the road. The chances of that happening, I must have been cleaning a building or something that day they took it, but there's just one little Mazda sitting right outside the church building. So if you guys will get extra points if you go there and you look at that page and you find it. So right now, minus all the cars that would be out in the street today, if we could look down from space, there's our church building right there in the middle. Hopefully you see that right there. Address is down here, but right there is our building. So we're looking there, and we're looking down. Okay, that's our church building right there. Let's back up a little bit. See if you can see anybody else's houses around the area there. Kind of recognize most of Waynesville there up in the top left corner. You can see the Friends Nursing Home and so on. Let's back up a little bit further, and now we see pretty much all of Waynesville, a little bit to the south of town, a little bit to the west and east of town now, too. We keep on going. Now, remember, we're talking about a lesson about respecting God. We just saw how close we were to our building, and our building right now, when we're all inside of it, it's pretty big. And we keep on backing up. Oh, okay. Now you can almost see our houses, like right up here. Here's Waynesville, and then Springboro, and then up here Xenia and part of Kettering and Centerville. Still backing up. Cedars Creek Lake looks pretty small right there. Looks like a pond. I was going to turn this off, but one of the new things with Google Maps is like they like to throw in pictures on there. It's great if you're looking for something. So all those weird icons that you see on there, if you click on those would all be people have taken pictures in those geographic areas. We're not going to worry about that today. We back up even more, and now we see an area right in the middle. Just barely, you can see there's all of Waynesville, about as big as that dot is right there. And then you can see the rest of Ohio from, like, pretty much the area from Dayton, north of Dayton, all the way down to Cincinnati. Back up a little bit more. Well, there's Lake Erie popping out the top of the screen. And now we can't even recognize anything. Everything's just a blur. Okay, now we got all the Great Lakes, and we can also see the shelf of the east coast of the United States as well as the ocean. Still, remember, this is a pretty big place that we live on. Okay. Now we're seeing all of North America. We're still backing up. Keep on going. The world just gets smaller and smaller. And then just to kind of remind us, it's easy to read in Genesis when we read about God creating the heavens and the earth, and He says that He created the stars and the moon and everything. It's easy to read about that and look up into the heavens at night and see the stars and think, yeah, God did a good job with those little dots. But it's a different thing to think about those little dots, what they really are. Right here in this line, we've all gone through science on here, and I think they will try to take Pluto off the list of planets. They try to put other planets on and everything there. But we know our science up there, Mercury, Venus, and Earth. That blue dot right there is the planet that we live on. That's the planet that we have everything to do in our lives, where we'll live and where we'll die most likely, unless science does something crazy and tries to take us out into outer space. Look at all those other planets, though. Once you get past the Mars and what they've got on there, the Ceres, I think, is a potential body, but somewhere in between there we know about the asteroid belt. Look how big. And these are not certainly in order of their orbits around the sun. Obviously, Mercury would have some trouble if it was that close to the sun, but look how big Jupiter is. Look how big Saturn is and all these other planets compared to Earth. And that little blue dot is where we live. Here's where God created man. When we read about in Genesis, when it says God created the heavens and the earth, He was talking about this earth. Everything to do with this Bible is here on earth. And this is where God created us, on that blue planet. Here's where Satan was cast from heaven. This really hit me in the mind and heart pretty hard last year. I was biking one day and I was just looking around and watching the clouds moving by and just watching how they didn't change as long as I kept biking. They were right there, and I was just thinking, if we took all of the people in this area and put them up in that sky, how small they would be. And so this lesson's been in my mind for quite a while. But remember, out of all this creation that God has, we can read in the Bible, and it says heaven, or Satan was cast from heaven to this earth. Out of all this creation, he was cast here, in this place that we live. Here is where God's Son was sent to save mankind from sin. Again, the same Creator that has done all this on that little tiny blue dot out of all these other things. His own Son came here for us. Here's where we are now and where we'll die. The rest of God's creation seems much bigger, doesn't it? It does look pretty big, doesn't it? If we zoomed right back in and I backed up all the way back to where Waynesville was, just like the lesson I had done a few years ago about that, it really makes us say, we are really small. Consider this. Here's an artist representation, and part of this, I think, is some photographic work too, but mostly artist representation of the galaxy that we're in, the Milky Way galaxy. I can't explain to you what this is. I think that's the trajectory of the Earth, but inside that little dot right there is our solar system. That's where our sun is. So when we were back here, and you see that big sun, the sun is that proportion to the rest of those planets. That is how big it is, but we're certainly spread out from it. That little tiny crosshair there shows it in all of the Milky Way galaxy that we know about. That's what our whole solar system takes up. You can also see Perseus and Orion and Sagittarius, other constellations that we see in the night sky, are kind of spread out over this large galaxy. To me, I don't know about the rest of you, but one of the things I talked about respect is having a little bit of fear for people. Think about who God is. I mean, it's just, it really, really hit me hard last year, and it was almost a little stressful to think about how big He was. Because it's easy to read about these things. Sometimes we think about God as a person that's a little bit bigger than you or me, a little bit bigger than where we live, a little bit bigger than maybe our houses or our cities. He's a lot bigger. In Matthew 10:29-31, remember this. Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are more valuable than many sparrows." So with that in mind, if God can number the hairs of our head, we've read about that passage many times, but with all this other greatness around us, think about how much He cares for you, that He can zoom in. And we know how science can get a microscope and find things. Even if we just scratch our skin, they could put just the parts of our skin under a microscope and find things that we can never even imagine. And it's weird like that. God's creation goes that deep and so much bigger than what we are. So now that we're thinking about God more respectfully, I got some passages for us to run through about who God is, and let's see how those in the Bible treated Him. Again, thinking about how we respect God. We've talked about before how the Jews would not even pronounce God's name in the Old Testament. They would refer to Him as Yahweh, which is all consonants. It's not something that can actually be said easily. But because of their respect for God, as we're talking about, they did not want to say His name and abuse it. Unlike some of the lessons Abe's had recently, and we've talked about it in our classes, people like to say God whenever they're frustrated about something, or they think something's really cool or big or whatever. They just throw it out there. That's not how some of the Jews that were doing what God wanted them to do. They were not disrespecting Him that way. Both God and Jesus are often referred to as Lord in the English translations of the Bible, which means ruler or master, and He certainly is both. But again, even in translation, the respect for God was written with care. I don't know how many of us know this, and if hopefully what I had been studying is accurate, but one of the reasons why we read about God being Lord and Master and so on is a little bit leaning back to that same principle of what the Jews had as Yahweh. Don't say His name. Keep it generic a little bit because you don't want to disrespect Him. Let's look at some other scriptures of how others respect God. The Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, and verses 3 through 5. You can follow along if you want. I have these from the New King James Version. It says, "You," talking about us, at that time certainly talking about the Jews, but God is talking to the Jews here in the law of Moses. The Ten Commandments says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven, that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." So, again, going back to those images that we were just looking at. How big are the God's creations? How big of a person is He, and why do we owe Him to that? And you can see right here something we're going to be focusing on here. It says, "Do not bow down to them or serve them." One of the things about respect, we can go back to the kings and queens of old. You know, we see pictures of them, we read about them in our books, and we saw movies that when you came before the king or queen, you bowed down to them. People, men, used to bow to the people that they met. Now we've kind of milked it down to a handshake with even men or women, either one. But the curtsy and the bow was a respectful sign back in the olden times. Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 11. "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess God.'" That idea of confession on there. We've talked about this just recently. I think Mike kind of touched on this in his lesson on Wednesday. We will be standing before that judgment seat. We'll be standing before that seat of power. We will have to have respect. "And every knee shall bow to me." What we talked about, I think, last Wednesday is even those that don't know God now or refuse to know God now will know Him then, and they will be subject to Him, and they will respect Him even if their lives have not been right. We talk about God's omnipotence. In Job chapter 38, I'm going to put all this down because I just read this, I think, last Wednesday. But in verses 4 through 5, it says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" This is God talking to Job. "Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measure? Surely you know." Again, going back to those pictures I showed you. It's one thing to measure this room. The kids are going through some math and they have to do square footage and area and things like that. We can do this for the building pretty easy. But who wants to go out and get the square footage or the area of Waynesville? Who wants to get the area of Ohio or the United States or the Earth? I mean, it's huge. And then, again, taking that to the solar system and the galaxy and the universe. It's just so amazing. In Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 6, we can read about the burning bush. I've got two slides for this. And it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock into the back of the desert. He came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.'" He knew that something was going on there that obviously shouldn't have been happening. Continuing on, "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.' And then he said, 'Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover,' he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Again, we saw from the previous slide, God was talking directly to Moses at this point. The Lord saw that he turned aside to look. So one of the things with respect is being able to pay attention to those that you should be respecting. You can ignore him or whatever you want to, but when, in this case, when Moses looked and saw that, that was when God talked to him. If Moses would have not glanced at and just kept on going, you never know. Maybe God, it wasn't in his plan at that time for Moses to be the one. But when he did look, God called to him. And it says, take your sandals off your feet, for this is holy ground. Part of the respect for God in this time when he appeared to Moses is because just that presence demanded a little bit more than what normally Moses may have done, especially in the desert. And you can see when God says who he is, Moses hid his face. That respect that he had. Remember, we can go back and we can see that Moses, the Bible says, just not far from this chapter here, was the most humble man on earth. There was nobody else that was as humble as he was. When we talk about Abraham in Genesis 17:1-4, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell down on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. So again, up there at the beginning, God is talking to Abram. And Abram fell on his face once he understood what God was going to do for him, and God talked with him. So again, you see God talking with him after that respect was shown, even though he did mention to who he was there before. When he saw Abraham's humility there, that's when he went ahead and completed the promise. Abe's been talking about this in the Unforgiving Servant I think we had last Sunday, Matthew 18:21-24. I'm not going to read that because I think we covered it pretty well last week. But when we're talking about the respect for God, remember back when we talked about this, the servant that owed a bunch of money, he owed all the money to this the master, he fell down before him. He was showing respect to him. And because he had that respect, or seemed to have that respect for his master, he humbled himself, he fell down before him, and he said, please forgive me, I can't do what you need. Please have compassion on me. And it said that the master was moved with compassion, and he forgave him of his debts. But we also talked about this, that another fellow servant owed that man money, and he also fell down before him, but he did not have compassion for him, and it was punished. In both cases, just as we talked about this morning, they appear to have respect for those above them. But really, I think after the story is over, we see that the second servant, the fellow servant, really had respect and was saying, I can't do anything about this. And that wasn't rewarded. He was just not a good master. Another thing that we see too, and just kind of taking this out of the thought from the Bible for a minute, if you've ever had a dog, and I think most of us have had one or two or three or whatever, and you ever get onto their cases, and he's like, what did you do? You shouldn't have done that or whatever. And they flop back on their back, and they put their paws up, and they're like, now I can't beat you like I wanted to. You get frustrated about that. It's like, I wanted to tell you, you're never going to do this again, but they flop down and they roll over. That's them showing respect to us. That's them knowing that we are in control. We are the human. They are the dog. Even if they're pretty strong, sometimes they'll be a little bit strong-willed too, but most of the time they'll roll over on you and just say, okay, I understand. You're in control. I'm giving you respect. And that comes from animals like that, especially dogs and packs and wolves and so on. There's one male that usually call the alpha male in the group that just is going to have its way with the rest of the pack. And those other dogs that are below that will show them respect by falling down or rolling over, just saying, I'm not going to mess with you. They're just letting them know that that's where the respect is. I put that down there because really that's how we should be with God. God is so much greater than us that we need to kind of say, I know I'm wrong. I've done sin. I've done this or that. I'm not doing everything that I should. You're in command and I'm sorry. It goes along with our repentance we talked about today. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if we want to have respect for God, we have to know that we need to fear Him, and that wisdom and knowledge will come from that. In the dedication for the temple, in 2 Chronicles 6:13, we read about Solomon had set up a place on top of the temple before the people, and he basically was dedicating the temple to God. We know that at this time he certainly was still doing what God wanted him to. And it said, Solomon had made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and had set it up in the midst of the court. And he stood on it, knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands towards heaven. He was not doing what we kind of touched on in class today. He wasn't out there trying to look like somebody that was praying to God. He was trying to let God know that he was appreciative to him. And he was not doing it for the people, at least as we understand it. And part of that respect at that time was kneeling down, spreading out his hands towards heaven. Also, we can go back to Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, remember we had to go back here and the king said that he was actually coerced into this signing of this law that anybody giving somebody else attention or praising them or giving them worship would have to be thrown to the lions. And so Daniel knew that this writing was signed. He went home, and in his upper room, he didn't pray that night because he was just too scared to do what the king said. It doesn't say that, does it? He knew about it. He wasn't going to stop doing it because he knew who had the most respect. And certainly Daniel had benefited a great deal from respecting God. It says instead that in his upper room, with the windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since the early days. So again, he's been doing that regularly. He's been looking towards Jerusalem, God's city. He's been down on his knees and he's been praying to God, which praying in itself is a form of service. Remember when another common say people used to say is, pray that doesn't happen, or pray this or pray that. They were basically just, it was a way to say that you really are asking as most humbly as you possibly can that something does not happen that's going to be a negative for you. One of the prayers that Jesus had in Luke chapter 22, 40 and 42, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. Again, over and over again, we see this kneeling down and praying before God, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Again, even Jesus, the Son of God, the person that John said that he was, the creator of what we just talked about, this earth and all that is in it, is still saying, doing just what I said about the dogs sometimes when they just roll over and say, I'm just going to do what you want me to. I'm sorry. Even Jesus, with the power that he said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Even this powerful person that Jesus was, the person that was able to take all of our sins, said, God, whatever you want, I want to do it. In Acts chapter 9:40, Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed, and turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Again, Peter was kneeling down, and he was praying to God. He was respecting God because he wanted this woman to come back to life because of the sorrow that these other people had for her. Also, Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 30, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Remember, he was getting ready to have to go and face his final days, and they were very sad about that, but he knelt down and prayed with them too. And another prayer from Jesus in Luke chapter 22, 43 and 45, and an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he had come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping from sorrow. Kind of wish Jesus was getting the respect that we're talking about here today, that they would have stayed awake and understood that he was really going to face some things. But for them, their respect was less than what they could bear. But not Jesus. Even though he had all ability and all power, he was putting that aside for the sake of mankind. And it says he was praying more earnestly, and it says he rose up from prayer. So again, we know that he was kneeling down. He was in a humble state before God as he was praying to him. Matthew 23, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This idea about respect, we can take it right back to our parents and our bosses and whoever. People that show respect to other people typically are appreciated, are typically people that others can look to from a seat of authority and say, I like how they're showing respect to me. I like how they're being a good worker or a good son or daughter or a husband or wife or whoever it may be. And because of how they're treating me, I'm going to bless them. And that's certainly what God tells us all throughout the Bible. If we humble ourselves and serve Him, He will raise us up. He will give us something greater. So again, back to that idea about this little dot there of the sun, our solar system, in this big mess of planets and suns and just an amazing thing there out in space. We only have a glimpse of how great God is. He's so much bigger than we can imagine, and He's certainly worth all of our respect, every bit of it that we have. From all we see, we are very insignificant. Yet again, as we mentioned, God knows how many hairs we have, and He cares that much for us. Somebody that can see from this point all the way through down to us and see what's in our heart, what's in our mind, even count the numbers of hairs on our head, just amazing. He protects and can save us if we let Him. Respecting God requires humility, it requires love, it requires following His directions, and especially it requires talking to Him in prayer in a humble way. We can't underestimate the power of prayer. Just the fact that we talk to somebody in prayer, just as like calling our parents or calling our brothers or sisters, just calling them says, I appreciate you, I miss you, how are you doing? We're showing them that love. And God certainly sees that when we talk to Him in prayer. So in closing, when you go to God in prayer, are you doing it with little fault? Are you in a position showing Him that you are the servant and He is the master? Do you have a bowed head? Are you on your knees? Are you in a private place? Certainly, and I was thinking about this, there's two ways you can look at this. Certainly the Bible tells us that we should be in prayer all the time, constantly in prayer. And that's a goal for us, constantly thinking about God, communicating with Him. Every action that we take, we're talking to Him. But there's other times we have to remember His royalty. We have to remember His majesty. And we really need to think, and I think we just need to make sure that we're in a position saying, God, I am totally focused on You right now. If I'm down on my knees, I got my hands folded, I'm in a private place. Remember, the Bible tells us if we want to pray, don't go out in front of everybody. Go in your closet. Get away from everybody. Spend time with them. And let them know that you care about them. And God is certainly that person. When you go to work, school, work or school, or you're out with friends or family, how do you represent God? And do we remember who He is? That's a big thing, too, to remember. Yeah, again, like I said, if God was just this person that's a little bit bigger than us, well, representing him means one thing, but if He's this person that the Bible says created all that we know, not just here, but in space, all throughout eternity, do we remember that? And how careful are we about that? We are God's sons and daughters. A being that is that powerful is our Father. And that's another thing to remember. We talked about sons this morning in our class. We are all God's sons and daughters. And if we have a God that's powerful, you know, the Bible characters like Joshua and Moses and Noah, Abraham, they were able to see through faith just a little bit better who God was, that He was that powerful. And so they were very good with their lives. So this morning, I just wanted to think about that, and I appreciate Abe for going along with the idea of doing a lesson on this. I wanted to just kind of remind us how great God is, and that if we can think about that for a moment, just consider where we are before that. That God, that powerful and that mighty, can do so much for us, but He's also, just like Abe says about his dad sometimes, He could also cause some problems for you if you got out of line. And God says, I will cause problems for you after this life is over. So just get it right now. So hopefully we're doing that. If not, let your needs be known this morning as we stand and sing.